what exactly is the future and what is our responsibility to it? These may seem like odd questions, but it's surprising how little most of us actually think about what the future is, and this in turn has a quite profound impact on our relationship with it. These are questions that I tackle in my latest book, Future Rising: A Journey from the Past to the Edge of Tomorrow. And yes, this is a blatant plug. You should totally go out and buy it. But before you do, I wanted to share a bit of the story behind the book. And this is a story that begins with coffee with a colleague and a rather unusual question. We were sitting chatting in a coffee shop, catching up on a bunch of things, and the conversation turned to my next book. And this is when my colleague turned to me and asked, "Why don't you write a book about the future as an object?" Okay, I thought, this is a little weird, but I humoured him and asked, "What sort of object?" "You know," he said, "an object like a spoon, or a ball, or a shoe even." At this point, I was thinking, this is insane. The future's this weird, intangible, unknowable thing. It is not an object. Of course, being British, I merely said, interesting. Looking back, this may be a bit of an over-dramatization, but this is how the conversation went in my head. The thing is, though, now it was there, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And as I chewed it over, I began to think, maybe there is something to thinking about the future as an object. Not a real object necessarily, but a metaphorical one, and one that can inspire us to collectively build a better future, rather than simply accepting the one that we end up with. Part of what persuaded me is that my work involves thinking about the future and how our accelerating technological abilities potentially affect it, and I'm acutely aware that we're at a point in history where humans have an unprecedented ability to imagine, to design, and to engineer the future. Of course, every generation thinks this, but things are different this time round. For example, through nanotechnology, we're designing new materials by quite literally coding with the atoms and molecules they're made of. We're doing the same with DNA as we design and engineer with the underlying code of living organisms. And of course, in the cyber domain, we're learning to create machines that may one day be more intelligent than us. This is heady stuff to the scientist in me. And yet, if I'm being honest, we have no idea how to use these technologies responsibly. And because of this, we're standing on the precipice of a future that could so easily fail because we didn't understand how to build it well. Okay, so admittedly, this is not the sort of existential angst I was expecting from a casual, if somewhat weird, conversation about imagining the future as an object. And yet it made me think. Is there some way to use this idea of the future as an object to refocus how we think about our relationship with the future and our responsibility to it? And the answer, to my surprise, turned out to be yes, at least sort of. And this started me down the road to writing Future Rising. In 1968, the astronaut William Anders was circling the moon in the Apollo 8 mission, and he took what was possibly one of the most influential photos of the past 100 years. His photo became known as Earthrise, and it showed a vibrant, fragile, beautiful Earth rising above the horizon of the moon, and it inspired a generation to think differently about the future of Earth and their responsibility to it. Earthrise was a photo of an object. It was an object that encapsulated the idea of a shared future for a generation, and one that inspired them to think differently about their responsibility to it. In a very real way, Earthrise and the Earth it portrayed became a future object to people that inspired them to do better. Of course, the world has changed almost beyond belief since 1968, and with it, our ability to create a better future has also been transformed. And this got me thinking, as we stand here between our past and what comes next, how do we ensure we take the right steps to building a better future? And then I got distracted. What distracted me was the realization that before we can even begin thinking about the future as an object, we need to go back in time to come to grips with what this future thing is in the first place and how we as humans fit in with it. And so I started out on a metaphorical journey that began nearly 14 billion years ago. $13.8 billion ago, to be precise, there was nothing, nil, nada. The very idea of the future, or even the past, simply did not exist. And then everything quite literally exploded. One of the most profound results of that explosion, the Big Bang, was the emergence of a universe that was governed by time, and with this, the future was born. If things had gone to plan, the future would have been, I have to admit, pretty boring. It would have gone something like this. Big Bang happens, universe expands, universe runs out of steam and stops, end of story. And yet, to channel the late great Douglas Adams on a seemingly insignificant planet far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the Western Spiral Arm of the galaxy, something quite amazing happened. A bunch of molecules coalesced into what we now know of as DNA, and everything changed. DNA held the blueprint of organisms that could ride the wave of time between the past and the future, that could sense and adapt to what was coming down the pike, and that would ultimately be able to imagine and create new futures. Through billions of years of evolution, all of it built on the backbone of this incredible molecule, creatures emerged that had a rudimentary understanding of cause and effect. They instinctively knew that what happens in the past affects the future. And then came evolution's masterstroke, intelligence. Of course, intelligence means different things to different people. I like to think I'm intelligent because I can do math, or at least I used to be able to, but I suck at languages. And believe me, if there was an IQ test for following directions, I would be in single digits. But through the process of evolution, a particular form of intelligence began to emerge that was deeply rooted in the connections between past and future. It's an intelligence that was based on remembering what had happened before, learning from this, using this memory and applying it to solve problems, and using this to create a better future. Most animals ended up really good at this. Cats and dogs, for instance, have an incredible ability to remember what they did in the past to get humans to feed and look after them, and to manipulate us so we keep on doing this. This chain of events from the Big Bang to the present day has led to us emerging as a species that has an unprecedented ability to predict what will happen in the future because of what occurred in the past, and to use this link between cause and effect to our advantage. This is the basis of the science we do and of engineering, and of course it underpins technology innovation. But these just capture the how of our relationship with the future. They don't really get to the why. If we were to think of the future as an object based solely on this how, it might look something like a hammer. An object that can change the future, but not something that necessarily inspires a vision of a better future. In other words, as well as the how, we also need the why as we think about what sort of an object the future is. The good news is that we have an utterly astounding set of future skills that can help us make sense of the why. These encompass our ability to not only imagine different futures, but to play out in our minds how these have the capacity to bring about what is important to us. This is where human creativity and art, our aspirations and visions, our hopes and desires coalesce to make us future builders with a purpose. If we were to capture this as an object, it's more likely to be a piece of art and probably a piece of abstract art. Something that forces us to think beyond the obvious rather than a mundane object like a spoon or a shoe. This ability that we have to imagine different futures is part of the secret sauce that makes us architects of the future. but it also has a dark side. A couple, actually. In fact, if I'm being honest, there are lots of dark sides here, but let's focus on just two of them. The first is the despair that comes from being able to see what the future could be, yet not being able to get there. This tragically is a state that millions, even billions of people face as they struggle to feed themselves, to live with dignity, and to overcome the constraints that others seek to impose on them. If we're serious about imagining the future as an object, this object should reflect the pitfall of despair and remind us that we all have a responsibility to create pathways toward a better future for everyone, not just the privileged few. The second dark side that's important here is the danger of trying to build the future on the back of ideas that do not match reality. Sometimes this is as plain as the nose on your face. If you imagine, for instance, that the future consists of a flat Earth being carried through space on the back of four elephants and a large turtle, you're really going to struggle to be an effective architect of the future. That's an extreme example, of course, but we all have our biases and blind spots that stop us from seeing the world as it is and the pathways to futures we can actually achieve, whether this is denying that humans affect the climate, claiming that vaccines cause diseases like autism, or even insisting that technology can solve everything. Hint, it can't. And in the increasingly complex and interconnected world we inhabit, failing to spot and navigate these can lead to sometimes devastating unintended consequences. There is hope, though. As long as we learn how to match our prowess as future changers with the maturity that's needed to learn how to change the future for the better. This hope depends on us having the humility to recognize the limits of our understanding and our abilities, the responsibility to imagine, design, and build a future where everyone thrives, and a commitment to being good stewards of a future that we have increasing influence over. And this is where the idea of the future as an object, one that can inspire us to do better, becomes so important. Of course, there's never going to be a single object of the future that we can all rally around. Rather, we're going to need many objects that represent the future as we continue on our journey. Or maybe we each need to find and hold in our mind's eye our own personal idea of the future as an object to keep us true to what we aspire to. If this is the case, I wonder what your personal image of the future as an object is. Maybe it's a strand of DNA or a stunning landscape, a child's toy even, or a cute kitten. Perhaps it's a Cybertruck or a colony on the moon or cities on Mars. Or maybe it's something that grabs your imagination in unexpected ways, like a soap bubble, for instance. This, I must confess, is my personal future as an object. And it's one that captures the idea of a chaotic, fragile, yet beautiful future full of promise. The thing is, despite how crazy I thought the idea was when my colleague first suggested it, we cannot escape the reality that we are all exquisitely talented architects of the future, and yet to be responsible architects, we need something that guides us forwards. We all need some way to think about the future as an object, something to help us keep our eye on the ball of building a better future. And so as we stand at the edge of tomorrow, caught in the flux of time between what was and what is to come, let me ask you this. What is your object of the future?